Last week we talked about the number of people across the world who are asking the question, does God really exist? Is God real? That's becoming a universal question. There's another question that takes place in the minds of many, many, many people, especially Christian people, and it's up there on the board. If God is good, why is there suffering? This question has caused a lot of people simply to abandon their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A guy by the name of Charles Templeton, who was a pastor in Canada, pastoring a growing church, and all of a sudden, he quit. And when he was interviewed, he was asked, well, why did you quit? He said, well, I saw a photograph of a woman in Africa who had a dead baby in her arms. And she was looking towards the sky, towards heaven. They were in a terrible, terrible drought. And all she needed to survive was a few drops of rain. But no rain came. So his conclusion was, if there is really a God, he wouldn't allow that to happen. And so he became an atheist. One minute he was a child of God, supposedly. The next minute, he abandoned God. It's called deconstructionism, which is popular these days. There are many who are following that particular situation. Too bad. Another guy by the name of Templeton abandoned his faith. When he was interviewed and asked why he abandoned his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, because people live in misery. Across the world, there's misery. People don't have enough to eat. People are suffering from diseases and no help is coming. Why would God allow that? If God is a good God, if God is a caring God, why would he allow that to take place? He abandoned his faith and became an atheist. And then you have the exact opposite of that. A gal by the name of Sarah Salvander, a very well-educated person. She was actually an astrophysicist. She was raised as an atheist, and her parents taught her that philosophically, Christianity was nothing but triviality. However, as she studied the universe and saw the exact detail, came to the conclusion that without God, none of this could have happened, and she gave up her atheism and became a Christian. So you have both situations going right now. Another young man by the name of Stephen, who was a musician, was raised in a home where his dad was a pastor, and he hated Christianity. Somebody gave him a book about God, and he read the book. And as a result of that, he said in his own words, I went from addiction, and he was a terrible addict, I went from addiction to redemption. So you have both of those things going on in the world in which we live. And it's up to you to decide what you believe. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that he's real? Do you believe that he's working all things out together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes? If I were to ask you, if you could ask God any question, what would it be? It might be this question. If God is good, why is there suffering? I believe the Bible teaches that God is good in spite of the suffering, and I'm going to try to explain to you and to myself why there is so much suffering in the world in which we live. A young couple asked that question when they learned that their two-month-old baby, Marcia, had cystic fibrosis. It's a terrible disease. It affects the lungs, brings much suffering, and shortens the lifespan. Every day of her life, Marcia had to take powerful medicines. By the time she was 8, she spent 2 hours every evening on a slant board, and her mother would pound her chest for 2 hours to try to get rid of the phlegm in her lungs. By the time she was 12, she was sleeping in an oxygen tent every night. At age 16, she underwent surgery to remove mucus from her lungs. She died on the operating table. Marcia's family, of course, asked, "Why, God? Why?" But they did not lose their faith. They did not leave the Lord. In fact, Marcia's brother became a pastor and wrote a book about the blessings of suffering. So it didn't affect them in a way that they would say, "I don't want God anymore." In fact, in the book, the brother says that the whole family drew closer to God because Marcia not only had cystic fibrosis, she had a number of beautiful gifts. And anybody who met her loved her. She didn't rail at God. She didn't shout out at God. She didn't say, "I'm sick of God." She kept believing in God. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Bottom line is this: we do live in an evil world. And we live in a world that is filled with suffering, people going hungry, people in drought, all kinds of things going on around us. In our own community, there are people who are suffering from diseases, suffering from all kinds of situations. Some die, some don't. But the people who are in those situations generally say, "Why, God? Why me? Why my family? Why my loved one?" So this morning, we're going to actually look at a 3-act play. And that hopefully will help us understand what's going on when we think about, if God is good, why is there suffering in this world? Act one, God made a perfect world. We'll talk in length about that. Acts two, man messed up, man sinned, and changed what God had in mind because he gave man free will. I don't know whether God was good at doing that or not, because if we have free will, we suppose that there's going to be evil and suffering. There's no question about it. Act 3, is that God sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for our sin. And Act 4 is that God makes a new and perfect world. That's coming down the tube. It's not here yet, but it's on the way. I'm confused.
Sorry.
Act 1. Let's talk about that. God made a perfect world. He gave man free will. And this is from Genesis 1:31. God made a perfect world. God gave man free will and one command. One command. You look out over what was in the Garden of Eden, and there were hundreds of trees. Every tree had a delicious fruit. Wow. I like fruit, personally. 100 trees? And you can pick the fruit from any one of them except one. Just one. Wouldn't it be nice if we just had one command from the Lord? We have a few more than that. In Genesis 2:16-17, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, we as human beings, if somebody says don't do it, you know what happens? We want to do it. Have you noticed that? If you tell a child don't do that, what do they want to do? They want to do what you've told them not to do. Adults are really no different. The first thing that comes to your mind is, you don't want me to do that? Well, that's exactly what I want to do. I've experienced that many, many times. I used to take young people to various churches when I was a professor at Platte Valley Bible College. I had an old Oldsmobile. And on the way back to Scotts Bluff, I got really tired. And I asked one of my favorite students, Diane, to drive, but I said no more than 65 miles an hour. When I woke up, she was driving 95 miles an hour. That's the way we are. And the reason for that is because we like to go against what God has to say. And that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. And so when the tempter came along and said, man, if you eat of this tree, you're going to be just like God. You're going to know just what God knows. Of course, that was a lie. But it was a matter of disobedience. Free will. Now, we don't have total free will, but we have the power of choice. How many of you like to choose? Nobody here likes to choose. I got one person who likes to choose. Where are the rest of you? Dead in your tracks? I doubt it. I think all of you like to make choices. Here's the point. It's logically impossible to have free will and not have the result of evil. It's impossible. The fact that God has given us free will logically says that it's possible for us not to believe what he says and do what we think is right. And as a result of that, we have evil. We have sin. We have sickness. We have disease. We have shortcomings. Built into that situation of free will, you can't have it without having all of these other things. It's the chance, the big chance of evil and consequently the suffering that results. Would you rather be a robot? Would you rather not have the ability to choose? That's the only way that we could have a perfect world. That's what God wanted in the first place. But our dear sister Eve, if Satan said, don't, the first thing she wanted to do was take a bite. Boy, stop and think about that. That seems to be the way most of us are. So if people ask, why didn't God create a perfect world? We can definitely say he did. No question about it. I don't know how long that perfect world existed until the adversary came along and tempted Adam and Eve, and particularly Eve. By the way, men, the scripture says that men were not deceived in the temptation. But he took a bite of the apple anyway. So we have Act Two. Man sinned. Evil entered the world. We call that the fall. The Bible never calls it the fall. We call it the fall. And it's probably as good a thing to call it as we can come up with. Had major consequences. Not only was mankind affected, the earth itself was affected. It was going to grow weeds, and man would have to earn his keep by the sweat of his brow. So today we've invented all kinds of spray to kill the weeds. Of course, it's not so healthy for human beings either. Here's what Romans 5:12 says. I think I'm ready for that. No. I want Romans 5:12. Maybe it's not on there. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. The entire world, by the way. Not just a small part of the world. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. That's why you're going to die. Because of what happened in that garden. And as a result of disobedience to God, it affected all of us. You're not going to make it through this world without dying, unless the Lord comes first. But I don't know when that's going to be. God could not create free will without the potential of evil coming into existence. Humans, by their deliberate choice, by your choice and my choice, they brought potential evil into the world, and now we have the privilege of making choices every day. We can choose good, we can choose good, or we can choose evil. It's up to us. One simple command. they couldn't bypass. Eve just had to pick up whatever it was, an apple, a peach, a lemon, whatever. And as a result, we have sickness, suffering, natural disasters, and death. And we have a lot of them going on right now. It seems like every day you turn on the news, if you watch the news, and there's a new hurricane, a new disaster, a new this, a new that. I think it's bringing us closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So man sinned, and evil entered the world. Let me give you an illustration. Isn't it nice to, I've never had this privilege, but car manufacturers take this metal and they cover it with paint. Not just one coat, but many coats. And they tell the purchaser of the automobile, don't get the paint chipped. Don't get a wreck, because if you do, it's going to rust. And so, how many of you ever bought a brand new automobile? Well, we have several. I've never had that privilege. Probably never will. But even an older model, if you chip the paint, it's going to rust. The potential of rust is always there. And that's the way it is with us. The potential of disobedience, the potential of going our way instead of God's way, is always there. So when you look out on this world and you see people suffering, you see people going hungry, like the pastor in Canada, who saw this woman with the dead baby in her arms, asking God for rain, just remember that we brought that about because of Adam and Eve. Where do you suppose sin came from? Did it just rise up out of the earth? How did it come about that there's such a thing as sin compared to goodness? Is it just a figment of our imagination? No. It came as a result of what Adam and Eve did. So, we go to Act 3. And God sent his son to pay for our crummy mistakes. We need to be so thankful for that. Romans 5:7 says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We lost our son-in-law this week. He has suffered immensely for the past 2 years. I mean, immensely. His foot was taken off. He lost over 100 pounds. He could no longer eat. And it was a blessing to see him die. But of course, his wife said, why, Lord? Because she feels like there's a big void in her life now, because she took such good care of him for the past year. But that's what happens. Now, praise God, he had accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I hope you believe that, because it's true. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for your life. If you don't know what it is, find out. I talked to you about Marcia, the girl who died at age 16 of cystic fibrosis. Her brother says, with the perspective of years, I can see that there were hints of God's compassion all over my sister's life and death. He watched everything that went on with his sister. He didn't lose his faith. In fact, he wrote a very interesting book on suffering. Marcia was endowed with exceptional gifts. Everyone who knew her loved her. So even with cystic fibrosis, God used her to touch the lives of many people. Yeah, she suffered. She died at an early age. But here's the thing you need to understand. We look at death one way. God sees it as another way. God knows that there's going to be a life afterwards. And when people die, he knows that one day some of those are going to be in heaven with him. He sees it from the perspective of a creator. We see it from the perspective of sinners. And we go crazy many times. I've been on the phone with my daughter a great deal. Why, God? I feel like there's such a void in my life because I can't take care of him. I wish I would have done a better job. Well, her dad tried to straighten her out on all that. Don't know how successful I was. Marcia's brother said this: my sister has been experiencing wonders I cannot yet comprehend. Yes, there's evil. Yes, there's sin. Where did it come from? It didn't arise spontaneously. It arose as a result of what happened a couple thousand years ago. You know, there's been so many tornadoes, so many hurricanes. But, you know, when you start to study those and see what Christian people have done and how they have reached out and helped, it's marvelous. I remember clearly in my mind what happened at Ozark Bible College in Joplin, Missouri. Ozark was hit with a terrible, terrible tornado. And as a result, hundreds and hundreds of Christian people reached out and helped those who had been affected by that terrible storm. God is using his people every day in ways we simply forget. Look and see what is going on with Franklin Graham and his work and how they are helping people. Yes, there's terrible things going on in our world. There's tornadoes, there's hurricanes, there's all kinds of things. People are dying because of disease and sickness. But God is still there. And if we will allow that, allow him, to work with us. Even though sin affects everything, we can be the overcomers instead of those who are deconstructing our lives because we see what's going on. God doesn't just get rid of the reality of the bad stuff. He doesn't do that. But he gives us the power to overcome. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Wow. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? Yeah. If you wanted God to destroy all evil, what percentage would you want? 5%? 10%? 20%? You know what? If God destroyed all evil, that would include you and me. He did that once, you remember? So if we want God to destroy all evil, get ready to go. Because you're going to go too, and so am I. Would a good God allow evil to exist? Yes, he does. Not because he's the author of it. It's because we have decided to do it. We have said, God, all those beautiful trees are out there, but hey, I don't want any of them. I want that one. I want that one that you say I shouldn't eat of. That's how we are. God says, don't. We say, oh, I want that. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. Where does that come from? It comes from the same adversary that was in the Garden of Eden who tempted Eve. And she just fell for the whole thing. Hook, line, and sinker. Act number four. God is making a new perfect place with no sin. Read the book of Revelation. It's coming, folks. It's coming. And I believe we are closer than we've ever been. I think every generation says that, but there are so many things that have been fulfilled from past generations that have been fulfilled in this generation, that you can't help but come to the conclusion that we are much closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A preacher tells about his godly grandmother. She had spent a lifetime loving God and serving him. In her 90s, she suffered a stroke. She went to the hospital, laid in that hospital bed, and she died there. But here's what she said just before she died. Heaven at last. Heaven at last. Boy, when you close your eyes, when you get ready to go, just remember what that great grandmother said. Heaven at last. Wow. She had found peace in her sickness. She knew she was going to go. Her family knew that she was going to go. And her attitude was, heaven at last. So don't be afraid to die, because there's something much greater for you. I know grief comes. I know all about that. Have you found the one who will be with you through all the trials, all of the situations that we face as we live on this earth? And remember, he's not going to destroy all evil. Because if he did, we'd have to say goodbye to each other. We'd be a part of that. So this morning, I hope that in this would take a college class for about a year and a half to go through all the situations concerning the question, why is there evil? I hope this brief compression has helped you understand that evil is with us. Evil is going to be here until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a Savior, a Redeemer, who helps us get through it. Amen? So our hymn of invitation this morning, if you haven't come to grips with this in your own life, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your own Savior, please do so this morning. Come forward. Accept Him where you are. Do something besides stand there. Okay? How majestic is your name. Wow. Let's be standing as we sing.